Good morning, everyone. Welcome on this Monday, the 18th of March, after a massive weekend of sport. The good oil for Penrite today. Penrite, Australian-owned and trusted for more than 90 years. Visit penriteoil.com. Nick Riewoldt, Mark Murphy going to join us, and it's D-Day today. 1-18, the Wisp will give us his teams and the finishing order for season 2019. Nowhere to hide, Wispy. It is time to put it on the line. It is going to be a very big show. Lots to talk about. Massive weekend of sport. We've had a Grand Prix. We've had a basketball title decided. And we've got an AFL competition that's just three sleeps away, if you don't mind. And on the couch returns tonight to Fox Footy. Unbelievable news. What's happening, Wisp?
Good morning. Is it right too that Fox are having their media day today, NFL style? What are your hands up for?
Are you invited?
I haven't been invited. No. I just need to know what it's all about.
I tried
though.
To get you on the invite.
Did
list.
You? I bet you
Channel
did.
Wisp.
I bet you did.
Well, you're important.
Is this sort of like NFL style where you have your own little booth and the other members of the media file past and say, do I need to talk to Garrity? Nah, there's nothing I need to ask you.
No, I think it's just lunch. But yeah, maybe we could break off into our own separate table.
How does it work?
Who would be the Tom Brady where everyone just got around and then the linebacker down the end of his table sitting there going, anyone? Anyone? it's at Chin Chin, if you don't mind.
Ah, that's a nice little place. What, in town? Chin Chin. Chris Lucas's place in town.
Chris Lucas, that's right. Exactly, yes.
You can't get into that joint.
That's right.
It's very, very popular.
You can't get in today at lunchtime. So that'll be a nice little before the season gets underway.
Talking about little I was at the market on Saturday. I know you're at the South Melbourne market. Now, the South Melbourne market. You went yesterday. I went Saturday.
Our market.
Yeah, our market. Mm. What is the fascination? I'm trying to work this out.
I love it.
I'm trying to work this out, though. What is the fascination with oysters?
Oysters.
The oyster bar. What is it that people like? Do you like oysters?
Love them.
I love them. What do you like about them, though?
Love the taste.
The sea. You just taste the
salty
sea.
Salty sea. But you can get a Kilpatrick. You can get a Mornay.
What that thing?
A little bit of chopped bacon with some Worcester sauce.
That soft thing in your mouth, though. Do you like that?
Beautiful. Fresh, right from the ocean.
Are you a? I want to know.
0-4-3-9-8-11-16.
You're an oyster person.
Do you like oysters or not? 1-300-736-736 is our mobile is our phone number. We're in a different studio today. Let's just say that off the top.
Yep.
Because I believe the boys yesterday, there was a power outage in South Melbourne.
Is that right?
It was on Saturday, in actual fact. Right. So I tried to listen to the Hutchie and Pickers, and I didn't get much, but there was a power outage within six blocks, and our normal studio, as a result, has been affected. So we're in a whole different setup.
No. It wouldn't affect us today, though, because that power outage would have been caused by the fact that we're not far from the Albert Park track. Mm. There would have been a couple of things that got hooked up there that probably took the power that normally comes through to us here in on Kingsway. So no power outage today. We don't need to worry about that. I do want to know, though, what is the fascination with oysters? I have never seen a lineup like the lineup at the South Melbourne market early in the morning, too, like 8 o'clock
for
in the
oysters.
Morning. People lined up for oysters. Why would you have oysters for breakfast?
Oh, because they're a delicacy, Tim, and because you don't come across them very often. And if you do, you got to get your own. You got to shuck them. But when they're all shucked and they're sitting there ready to be slurped, you help yourself.
I can't think of anything more disgusting.
Magnificent.
Than...
Hey, did I tell you Alistair Clarkson's on today as well?
No, you didn't.
It's Hawthorn Footy Club membership day today, if you don't mind. So get behind the Hawks. And Alistair Clarkson's going to join us. So that will be absolutely compulsory. So Nick Riewoldt from 7 till 8.
Yep.
And then Al Clarkson out of 8. And now, Mark Murphy in there as well.
And we're going to put it on the line today because we're going to go from 18 to 1, the three of us. All right.
Well,
so you who delicately sidestep this every year.
You delicately
sidestep.
Melbourne News me in their promo.
That's right, because I asked you the right questions, that's why.
Right. Well,
and I got the right answers
If you have the team, this is where we think they're going to finish after the home and away, because my number one is different to my premier.
Yeah.
Is that right? Is that how you want me to do it?
Yeah, you can do that. I've done exactly the same thing, actually, because I think of the home and away stuff, because of your draw, can mean that you can finish maybe a little bit higher than where you should be placed, but all the chickens come home to roost in the last month.
0-4-3-3-9-8-11-16 oysters like swallowing a globule of sea snot. That's disgusting.
They are disgusting.
They're not disgusting.
I think they are disgusting. I'll tell you what. I think I saw next year's Oaks Day winner. I think I saw it run at the Valley.
The Oaks? You're talking about the Oaks?
I'm talking about the Melbourne Oaks.
the 2,500 metre Oaks.
Yeah. I think I saw the winner yesterday.
Yesterday or Saturday?
Yesterday.
Yesterday?
At Yarra Valley yesterday.
Oh, not that stupid horse.
At Yarra Valley yesterday.
You sent me a text message.
Just have a look at it, everybody. At one, in the most extraordinary circumstances.
Bye bye, Bell.
One in the most extraordinary circumstances yesterday at Yarra Valley.
I saw the video.
One of the great, great lead up runs to this year's.
I saw a bunch of blokes jumping around, hugging and kissing each other like they'd won the Cox Plate. I recognised Obi-Wan Kenobi. I recognised the recruiter.
Yes.
Who else did I recognise?
You probably recognised Cale Hooker or maybe Tommy Bell.
I didn't see those two. They're in it as well.
They were there yesterday too.
Oh, good on them. And it paid $3.40. Did the Wisp have any of his on it?
Wendy did.
Wendy is, she would have. She's a desperate punter. Hi, gents. Which seafood place in the South Melbourne market has got the best oysters? That's from Marco. He's in Albert Park. He might be wanting to wander down. Which one do you go to?
Our friends.
Which one?
The main one.
There's three or four.
No, the main big one.
The seafood place?
Yeah,
the
seafood place.
The place that sells the other cooked food and
stuff. Yeah, they're the same place.
No, they're not. Yeah. There's about five different ones.
No, they back on. They're all the same joint.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I'm new to it.
Yeah, those boys that have that one have the one out the back as well.
Oh, very nice. Hey, how long did you hang around? How long did you watch the Grand Prix for?
You know what? I watched a great show yesterday just to get myself in the mood yesterday. There's a new Netflix Grand Prix program, right? It's like a doco of last year's F1 season. I watched that. It was absolutely fantastic.
About what?
About the Grand Prix last year. It started in Melbourne with Daniel Ricciardo and went all the way.
How long did it go for?
Well, it's like a five-part series.
What, and you watched it all?
I watched three parts of the five-part series, and that got me in the mood.
No wonder you
It is fantastic. Actually, it's fantastic.
A bit pale today.
It is.
You can get out of the house.
It is extraordinary. And then that got me really interested in yesterday's race, and so I watched the Fox Sky coverage.
Yes.
And they've got the equivalent of roaming Brian. In the in the pits on the grid before the race. So this guy Martin Brundle, he just goes along with his microphone.
Roaming Brundle,
yeah, they call him. He just wanders.
And is this on Fox's coverage?
This is on Sky. Yeah,
which is on Fox.
Which is on Fox. I'm assuming. Is that right? Yeah, it's on Fox. So it was unbelievable. So they've just got access all areas. This is a sport that opens itself up because it needs to do that. Because if it didn't take people in these places, then no one would possibly watch, right? So he can wander around there, Martin, and Roaming Brundle can grab hold of anyone.
Driver?
Any driver.
He can't grab a driver.
Gary, this is like...
That's a makeup.
This is 15 minutes before the race.
Bacon, bacon.
Other people will have watched this yesterday. He can wander along there and he just grabs hold of a driver and says, look, what do you think about today? We're not going to hold you up too long. They answer one question, they move on to the next. They go to the owner, they go to the crew, anybody. They just have access or error. And you know the thing that I learnt yesterday?
What?
That Ferrari, not that it helped them yesterday, they've used the matte paint on their car. Because the matte, matte paint, the matte finish of the paint.
Yeah, not the shiny.
Because they thought that would just be a little bit quicker.
Ferrari's not matte. Ferrari's bright red shiny.
No, it's a matte paint.
Well, that's a horrible decision if they've made that.
Aptus Seafoods is the place to go. APTUS Seafoods. That's the one that Gary and I both go to.
Gary, did you just say your bottom team will be different to your top team? Thanks, Einstein. No, Einstein, I didn't say that. I said my top team will be different to my premier team. That's what I said.
That's right, because you and I both believe that you can go through the home and away series because of the draw,
mm-hmm.
and you may finish on top, but you may not necessarily still be the best team in the competition.
Correct,
and Whispers. You'll get sorted out in the last month.
Correct, Whispers. Now, you mentioned Brian. He's doing a podcast with John Anderson, his great mate, Robbo, and Lauren Wood.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not doing talking footy. How could you get him off talking footy and put him on the podcast with those blokes?
What do you mean? Nobody put him on the podcast.
What?
Nobody put him on the podcast.
I just put it to you that you flicked him off talking footy. So I said, up yours, I'm going to go and do a footy podcast and show everyone how smart I am.
Well, we all know that he's smart. He doesn't
need
to
show... Why isn't he on talking footy?
Because of his he's got so much other work on at the moment.
What, their lifestyle show?
He's got that.
How's
that going? He's great. And he's got a network program too with Shane Jacobson.
When's that on?
He's been travelling all over the world filming that, which is the, you know, the, what do they call it? The new dancing, what's that called?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, Monty. The
Full Monty?
The Full Monty, yeah.
Oh, that's good. Hey, I was watching a show last night as I was going to bed. You just do that little compulsory flick around, make sure you're not missing anything. And there was the, what's the channel called? It's like the Indigenous Channel.
Yeah.
What's that called? Is there a special name for it? Anyway, someone will tell me. And they were doing a NITV. They were doing a footy sort of base thing. So I sat there and watched a couple of minutes, and they started talking about Polly Farmer. And Sam Newman, ever heard Sam Newman talk about Polly Farmer?
I have, yeah.
Like reverential.
Yeah.
Reverential. So I thought, oh, I'm going to watch this. And I watched this stuff. It was great. It was fantastic. It was voiced by, oh, I can't remember now. But they interviewed Sam, and yeah, they had great vision of Polly when he arrived. Oh, Bobby Simpson, Bobby Davis was talking about him, how he arrived, and then Billy Goggin, who rove to Polly Farmer, and Billy said,
Billy
Goggin, get over there, get over there.
Yep, get.
He reckons they were getting 8,000 at training.
8,000.
8 on Tuesday and 12 on Thursdays. Come and watch Polly Farmer.
I'm calling BS on that.
Well, you can talk to Billy Goggin about that. But anyway, then they had the 8,000. Vision of Polly, right? He was unbelievable. He's just grabbing it out of the ruck and thumping it 40 metres by hand. And then they did the 63 grand fall.
Right. Who did Geelong play in the 63?
Hawthorn.
Yeah.
And they, Panch.
Did your dad play in that game?
Damn straight he did. He didn't play very long. He's on the bench. Anyway, they ran out the ground and they had the banner over the gate,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah. Wasn't very big in those days.
No, it's just, Freddie Waller, who was the captain, ran out. Then the voiceover goes, there goes Fred Waller running through the banner. And I'm watching it, right? Now I see this bloke fly out with one of those sort of hand sirens that you want. Happy Hammond ran.
Happy.
I know.
Happy Hammond.
I kid you.
Ran out with the team back in 63.
I kid you not. Halfway down the race, out comes this bloke in a suit with a hat and some sort of thing in his hand. I watched it 10 times. I knew that had happened because someone had told me, and we talked about it previously, maybe on the footy show, whatever. I just went back and watched it, and out comes this suited bloke halfway down the race. I'll try and get it.
We should take some nominations. Who would you like to see run out? If your team makes the grand final this year, who would you like to see run out with your team and break the banner?
That's a great one. 0433981116. Who's your happy Hammond? Who's your happy Hammond at your football side? Oh, we've got to get on with things, Wispy. I'll tell you what, we have got... So, got my computer on. We've got so much to get through today. As I said, Nick Riebold in from 7. We're going to go through our top 18 teams. We've got Alistair Clarkson, the coach of Hawthorn, from 8 o'clock. And we've got Mark Murphy, who's coming back for the Carlton Footy Club. That's chock-a-block.
That is wow-wee.
What do you look like? You're going to say something?
No, I'm just saying that looks like a wow-wee sort of a show to me.
This is SEN Breakfast for Melbourne Airport Parking. Warmer welcomes and proper goodbyes. And our terminal parking's only $12 in Goddings. Well, they're your Kubota Excavator 5-star service dealer. Great to have your company. It's Hawthorn Membership Day here on 1116 SEN. Call 1-3000 Hawks and join the mighty fighting today. We've got Alistair Clarkson, your coach, from 8 o'clock if you're a Hawthorn supporter. If you're a footy supporter, he's compulsory listening anyway. We've got Nick Riebold from 7, and we're going to go through our teams, 1 to 18 in order. And also Mark Murphy is going to join us. The Wisps here on a big weekend. What are you looking at?
I'm just looking at this headline in the Herald Sun. Lynch touch and go for season opener. We're talking about Tom Lynch. Teammate Dylan Grimes says Tom Lynch's training form is spectacular.
Okay. Can you not? Well, I don't want you to talk any more about that because that's one of my hardball get questions for today when we do hardball get and loose ball get with Nick Riebold coming up.
That's just a little teaser, it is.
AFLW, Tim, what can you tell me? Because there's all sorts of furor from the weekend.
Right.
And I'm trying to get my head around. I think it's on the basis of the two...
There's two conferences.
Conferences. Yep. And that one conference sees...
One conference was a tough conference, right? And the other conference was considered that the maybe not so great teams had competed in.
How did that happen in the first place then?
I don't think...
That's a joke, if that's a...
Well, nobody probably knew... You know, there's a couple of new teams that came into the competition, so nobody knew exactly how good or how well they might perform. So that was probably a little bit difficult for them to forecast.
Before we go
got Conference A.
Okay, before we go any further, well done to Adelaide and Freo who have qualified in Conference A, and well done to Carlton and Geelong who qualified in Conference B.
That's right, but the controversy at the moment is the fact that North Melbourne, who won five games, have missed out on the finals, and Carlton, who lead Conference B and won four games, will play off, and Geelong, who only won three games, will play off as well.
So the controversy, as I look at it here, is the AFLW ladder, if it was just a ladder, would have Adelaide, Freo, North and Melbourne playing in the finals.
That's right.
And North and Melbourne won't be there because only two teams from each conference go there.
That's right.
Good thing or not?
Well,
it doesn't look right.
It doesn't look right, but that is the problem with a conference system. And a lot of people have been pushing for the AFL to go to a conference type system. And this is what happens. This happens in world sport. We talk about in the NFL. It happens. There's always been a strong conference and a weaker conference. So it's always been a discussion at the end of a season. This team on this side of the America might have been better than that side of America. This happens if you go to a conference system. So, you know, be careful what you wish for, because it doesn't always end up being the right result for, you know, the most talented teams.
I'm looking at it here. Geelong have qualified. This is their first year in the competition.
They've look at their percentage.
12 wins with a percentage of 60, 12 points with a percentage of 65. The fourth place, Melbourne, had 16 points with a percentage of 111.
That's right. And the Western Bulldogs, who finished last in Conference A with 8 points, had a percentage of 75.3, which is still greater than Geelong's percentage of 65.5. So it's a work in progress, isn't it? Well, we know that.
I think
we know that.
Conferences have got to go, don't they? Why can't they just play each other once?
Because it was a condensed type season arrangement as well. So
four new teams come into the competition next year. Do you know how it's going to work next year?
I've got no idea. Nobody does. It hasn't been announced yet.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, it hasn't worked this year. So anyway, the prelims this weekend will be Adelaide taking on Geelong, and Carlton will take on Fremantle. Times and venues will be confirmed at some stage today. So well done to those teams that have actually made it through. Hey, Saturday morning there was a shocking story about Reece Palmer, who was involved in an incident at a harness racing track at Gloucester Park over in Perth. Throwing of shoes. As horses went past. Now, I know you joke, but if you've driven a horse in a sulky going at that pace, that is a terribly dangerous thing to do. And I heard the drivers talk about the fact that the shoes went down in between the sulkies, and the potential for carnage was there. So he got widely and understandably and justifiably condemned for that. And then, was it yesterday?
Yesterday, yeah.
What happened yesterday?
Yesterday the news came through that he'd been involved in a motorcycle accident.
And it was not... There was nothing related to the incident on the Saturday.
No. Right. Completely unrelated.
Right.
And all I know from those over in WA is that he has been in a critical condition. He is very unwell, but there is hope and belief that he's been moved to, gone from critical to serious,
right.
And he will make a recovery. Now, I don't know exactly what that entails, because details in terms of the injuries that he's sustained and suffered are a little bit sketchy at this stage.
Our thoughts are with his family, obviously. NAB Rising Star winner, played at both Fremantle, the Giants, and also the Carlton Footy Club. That series that I mentioned earlier that involved Polly Farmer is a Western Australian-based series. It's got Polly, it's got Barry Cable, Nicky Winmar, Ernie Dingo was the voiceover man. So that's
Ernie.
Thanks for that, Eric from Leaderville. I just showed you the vision of Happy Hammond running out with the Cats in the 63 grand final. What did you make of that?
I thought that it was hilarious. I still can't believe that was okay to do back in 1963. Did you say 1963 that they were doing that sort of stuff?
He was actually holding on to a cat as well, in a cat man in a cat suit.
I've seen Vision too. I think it was him or somebody else maybe playing the piano accordion in the rooms at halftime or pre-game or something like that.
This is what we've got to get to.
We've got to go back to that, do we?
And suggestions for other people who could be running out. Mick Malloy to run out for the Tigers. You see Mick running out for the Tigers if they make the grand final. Try and stop him. Helen D'Amico running out with the Carlton Footy Club Whispers.
Not for the first time.
No, she's been out there on the big stage previously. So, yeah, anyway, that was it in another era. A lot of fun. A lot of fun seeing Happy Hammer go through there. Melbourne City. Melbourne City defeated Sydney FC. The Rebels, our Rebels.
Yeah.
Undefeated going into this weekend. Yeah.
And they held the lead for a long
against
period
the Lions,
of time.
33-5.
And they got beaten.
I said, that's it.
That's it.
They're,
it's over.
They're going to continue. Since they came in and spoke with us,
mm-hmm.
undefeated. 33-5 up. You know what they lost? 36-33.
That's a monumental collapse, isn't it?
They went on to a 31-0 run. The Lions, so that's a little bit disappointing.
And
the All-Star Mile, by the way, was just a winner. We'll talk about that a little later.
That was, you know what, I was going to ask you about that. Did you get excited about that at all?
I loved it. Yeah, the front half of that race was a magnificent finish. There were some other horses that got voted in that perhaps were never going to win, but no, that was great. We'll touch on a little bit more when we get to it. Here's Meredith Gibbs in the SEN newsroom. Magnificent work from you, Meredith. Hey, if you give us a call at some stage this week, 1-300-736-736, you could be the caller of the week, going to the running for caller of the year. You could win a Toyota Hilux SR5. Great finance offer on 2018 model RAV4. Search Toyota Value.
Sam Edmund, the Carbone Lawyers. With over 100 years of combined experience, don't settle for less than Carbone Lawyers.
Sam Edmund in his new slot. This is where you'll hear him at 6.32 and 7.32 every morning. Welcome, Sammy.
Let's do it. Gary, good morning to you. Tim.
Good morning, Sam.
Valtteri Bottas. Well, he's won his first Formula One race since 2017. He dominated the Australian Grand Prix, but it was one Dan Ricciardo will want to forget. Now, Bottas stunned Mercedes teammate Lewis Hamilton, who was all the rage, of course, but it was Ricciardo who caught the eye, and he did it in the opening 5 seconds of a race where he lost the front wing of his car, veering onto the grass. This wasn't no normal nature strip, Whispers. This one had a pretty nasty bump in it. It took the front quarter of his car off, basically. He was trying to avoid a slow-starting Sergio Perez, and he hit the ditch. He retired on lap 31. Now, he typically afterwards put on a brave face, a smiling face even. Even when this interview was made difficult by the BBC's Jenny Gow, whose unrelated cross back to their studio bunker was just a little too close and a little too loud.
I mean, I didn't intend to go on the grass in the first place, but I saw, I had a better start than Perez. Can't concentrate. She's talking too loud.
As always,
shut the f***
up. He said it with a smile.
Was that a...
It was a shut the F up.
Really?
He just delivered it. Just dropped it on air. Yep, there you go.
Hey, he talked about this post-race too, about feeling flat and just drained. He tries to please everyone this week because it was the Australian Grand Prix. He said, I'm going to change it next year. I can't do that again. I can't split myself up in so many pieces because it just left me drained.
Very interesting.
I can understand this, Gary.
Oh, Tim, you know how long I lasted watching the Grand Prix?
How long?
1 second.
Why?
He drove up the footpath. within the first second, he was on the footpath.
Well, there you go. He felt drained. So where'd he head?
Up the footpath.
He went up the gutter.
Come on, Dan.
Steve Smith and David Warner. Well, they finally met up with the Australian cricket team. The pair's 12-month bears ending with a reunion with the squad in Dubai, ahead of the World Cup and Ashes series, of course. Now, both players, in separate interviews, talked about being aligned with the team's values, and both used similar terminology to insist there's been no awkwardness within the group. They'll both play IPL now.
Yep.
Here's Steve Smith.
Yeah, it's been great. It seems like there's a really good energy around the group at the moment, coming off the back of what was a terrific win in India. The spirits are really high. It's been great to be back around the group. You know, they've been really welcoming again, and it's almost like we never left. I'm really excited about playing again. The elbow's tracking really well. I've been batting for the last 2 weeks and, yeah, able to play all shots and got my power back and stuff. So, you know, I'm just excited to play again.
Yeah, Justin Langer Whispers described it as like two brothers
returning to the fold.
Wasn't the messaging consistent here?
Yeah. Do you think they sat down with a publicist and said, okay, these are the key words that you need to hit?
The old Essendon staff member, Jeremy Arnold, who you would know, has gone across to Cricket Australia, very shrewd operator. He did the interviewing with all three, and I reckon there might have been a chat beforehand about...
I think you're right. No one broke ground. Gary, how long will it take them till they find the middle of their bats, those two?
A week.
Okay.
Rhys Palmer in induced coma, as you mentioned, Royal Perth Hospital, fighting for life. The family have been told to prepare for the worst even. He's had his spleen removed. He's lost a lot of blood, the 2008 Rising Star winner. So fingers crossed, to say the least, for the Palmer family and his friends over there in Perth. The Melbourne Rebels, you mentioned, Gaz, 33-5 they were up. They lost 36-33. The penalty count in that game, though, 20-1 against the Rebels.
Oh, what's
20-1 in favour of the Lions over there in South Africa. English Premier League on at the moment. Chelsea's top four hopes dealt a massive blow. They've lost 2-0 to Everton. Liverpool's title hopes, though, they are alive and well, beating Fulham 2-1. Golf, the Players' Championship, it's into the final round in Florida. Now, last check, Jason Day, Adam Scott flying the flag there. Day at 11 under through 8. Scott at 10 under, both chasing the Spaniard, the leader, John Rahm. He's at 14 under, so all still to play for over there in Florida. I'll leave you with this, guys, because the Oklahoma City star, NBA star, Russell Westbrook, now, he doesn't mince words normally, and nor is he scared to say absolutely nothing. Now, he's facing a suspension after his 16th technical foul of the season came against Golden State. Not that he was keen to discuss the matter afterwards.
Russell, you got your 16th technical. Do you have any hopes of getting that one rescinded so you can play Monday night?
Next question.
Russell, were you aware that you were at 15?
Next question.
Are you disappointed with yourself for picking up your 16th?
Next question.
Anyway. Now, that is the ice water, not a vodka tonic or anything like that. They did lose. But
I guess that. Is this in reaction to what happened to him the other day?
Yeah, this is the 16th technical foul he got.
Yeah, no, but he got fined the other day because of his altercation with a fan.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
I think this is backlash to that, the fact that the league fined
against
him.
Against Utah Jazz, maybe. Yep. Yeah, maybe. There you go, boys.
Very nicely done, Sammy, here for Carbone Lawyers. Don't settle for less. Carmelo from Greenvale. Was it just me or did Dan seem gutted after the race?
Good work, Carmelo.
Nice work. Hey, 1-300-736-736 to be part of the quiz for Imar, the tradies mate for insurance. Get on the line now. Oh, stand by for an enormous amount of heartache when positions 1 to 18 are announced. This is the first time I've done this year, Tim.
Yes.
It's impossible.
Well, you're not going to get it right.
It's a nigh on impossible.
I know. And you're going to...
not going to get it right. Didn't have West Coast in last year. Didn't have Collingwood in the 8 last year. Had North Melbourne last.
You're going to upset a lot of people.
I think it's one of the most futile exercises ever, but we do it because it just gives everyone a chance to belt us.
Exactly. Be brave. Stand your ground.
Righto. It's the quiz for Imar Insurance, the tradies mate. Call 13-IMAR. Let's go. Bang. There's our full board.
The SEN Breakfast Quiz for Imar Insurance. Call 13-IMAR or visit imar.com.au.
I've got great prizes to give away this morning. I'm going to tell you exactly what they are at the completion of the quiz. And the theme this morning is Hawthorn Membership Day. Darren's in Tarnik. Good morning, Daz.
How you going, Tim?
We're going okay. I hope you had a great weekend. Ben Stratton is Hawthorn's newest captain. Name the three captains before him.
Ruffy.
Yep.
Podgy.
Yep.
And... nothing.
Oh, he's back at the club as well, Darren. Doing so beautifully. Cam's in Richmond. Good morning, Cam.
G'day, Sam Mitchell as well as those other two.
Sam Mitchell is correct. Well done, Cam. How many premierships has the Hawthorn Football Club won now? This is extraordinary. They are one of the powerhouses of the competition. How many flags have they won, Cam?
11.
No.
Two or more.
Bit light on there, Cam. Tim is in Brighton. Good morning, Tim.
G'day, Tim and Gary. How are you?
G'day there, Timbo.
We all admire this club greatly. How many flags have they won, Tim?
13.
13 is correct.
I don't think you like them.
I do.
You don't.
I admire them.
I don't think you like them at all.
Don't say that because I do. I admire them greatly.
I don't agree.
There was a time in my life that I didn't enjoy them or I liked them as much as I do now, but I admire them greatly. When did Alistair Clarkson become the senior coach of the Hawks, Tim?
Was it 2012?
No. Got to go back a long way further than that, Tim. Thanks for being part of the quiz this morning. Dan is in East Keilor. Good morning to you, Dan.
Good morning, boys. How are you going?
And you're Dan.
We're good, Dan. What year did Al Clarkson become the senior coach at Hawthorn? He's going to join us after 8 o'clock this morning as well. What year did he get the job?
2006.
Oh, no. It was just before that, Dan. Jess Desi is in Cranbourne. Good morning, Desi.
Morning, Whispers.
Desi, how are you this morning?
Whispers.
Yeah, not too bad, mate.
How was the weekend, Desi? What did you get up to?
Don't know what, Whispers, actually. Just went to a mate's house Saturday night and...
killed a few brain cells by the sound of it, Desi.
Yeah,
can't
a couple.
Even remember. Right, okay, Whispers.
Desi, what year did Al Clarkson become the senior coach of Hawthorn?
That'd be 05.
05 is correct. How many games did Luke Hodge play for Hawthorn? I'll give you a clue. It was over 300.
307.
Oh, just a little bit heavy, Desi. Have a nice day. Matt is in Doreen. Good morning, Matt.
Morning, boys.
Luke Hodge, the great Luke Hodge. How many games did he play for the Hawkers?
305.
305 is absolutely spot on. And this is question five. You answer this correctly, you take away two prizes this morning. Which Hawthorn player won the most Pete Crimmins medals? Who's won the most Peter Crimmins medals at Hawthorn?
Maybe Dermy?
Oh, no. Think. Don't worry, Wowie. Matty, that's incorrect. Todd's on the road. Good morning, Todd.
Morning, Wispy.
Todd, who's won the most Peter Crimmins medals at Hawthorn?
Go Dunstall.
Oh, no.
The
BNF.
Players that ever walked the face of the earth.
Yes.
If not the greatest.
And he's got a statue outside the MCG as well. Sorry, Todd. Daniel is in Hillside. Good morning, Dan.
How you going?
Dan, we're going okay. We just wanted a correct answer.
Lee Matthews
is correct. Eight Peter Crimmins medals. I'm going to give you a double pass to celebrate the night racing season finale this Friday at the Valley, thanks to Ladbrokes Friday Night Lights, and a round of golf for four players, including a card at Club Mandalay. Play golf at Club Mandalay. Great golf in Melbourne's north. Thank you to everybody for playing the Monday quiz.
Nick Revolt's in the house. He's going to join us after 7. We're going to go 1 to 18. We're also going to do hard ball gets and loose ball gets, and he's got lots of stuff he wants to talk about. And then Mark Murphy's going to join us, and also the coach of the Hawthorn Footy Club, Alistair Clarkson. That's chock-a-block. That was the quiz, by the way, for Imar Insurance, the tradies, mate. Call 13-IMAR. Hey, you can get on the lines right now.
Yep.
Who needs to pull their socks up, Whispers?
Yes.
All-day socks by Underworks are on offer. 1-300-736-736. I've got someone firmly in my sights. Protest over Whispers quiz, which happens regularly. I'm going to get to it in a moment, but the line's open right now, 1-300-736-736. You would need to pull your socks up if you're wearing all-day socks by Underworks. They never fall down. We'll give away loads of socks for those nominations. Who needs to pull their socks up? The protest has been lodged.
Because?
The question was, when did Alistair Clarkson become the senior coach of the Hawks? You gave the answer of 2005. He was appointed in 2004.
That's right. So where do we stand with this?
It's your quiz. What are you asking me for?
I want to know. I want clarification. His first year as coach of Hawthorn was 2005.
That's what you're
He was
paying.
Appointed in 2004.
Well, that was the question.
And what did my question state?
When did he become the senior coach of the Hawks?
He became the coach in 2004.
Well, you've mucked the whole quiz up.
Yes. Our man Skeeter mucked the whole quiz up this morning.
But it's going to stay.
But we've already paid out, so bad luck.
Stay out.
We've already paid out.
All right. 1-300-736-736 for all day socks from Underworks, our favourite sock supplier. Who needs to pull their socks up? Give your nomination. You'll get a nice three pack coming your way. Anyone from the weekend catch your eye?
Yeah. Well, I'm going back to Friday because I drove up the highway on Friday on the freeway on Friday, heading up to old mate Alex Vineyard up in the Maston Ranges.
Well, Cooker.
Yeah, heading up to see Cooker on Friday, and I was on the freeway. Right, there's no traffic around. I'm heading out of town.
Don't tell me. Roadworks.
And the 80 kilometres. It's a freeway. It's a five-lane freeway. Why are we being told that we can only drive 80 kilometres an hour on a freeway?
You're starting to sound like me, Wispy.
I don't want to sound like you. I don't want to sound like a complainer about the traffic. But surely at that time of the day, if there's not a lot of traffic around and it's outbound traffic, okay, at 11 o'clock in the morning, I mean, surely we should be allowed to drive 100k an hour on a five-lane freeway.
Right.
What's going on?
Noted by you.
Who needs to pull their socks up in that? Is that the Minister for Transport? Yes, sure. Everything stops with the Minister of Transport.
I'll tell you who needs to pull their socks up.
Who?
Jason Richardson.
Why? No winners on Friday?
Sat with us for an hour.
Yeah.
Entertaining. Yeah, great fun.
Always.
Enjoyed it. Loved it. Then gave his tips out.
And?
Which I diligently marked in my form guide. Every single one of them. And I circled and I put asterisks next to it because he talks 100 miles an hour and you got to keep up with him. My sons, who are just on their last dollar, haven't got many sheets. They write them down. I know other members of our audience have listened and not a single
horse
winner.
Not one.
Nada.
Not
nil,
one.
Nil. Zippity doodah. Nothing from our so-called expert.
Did he not tip bye-bye Bell at Yarra Valley yesterday?
He did not. And yeah, I'll tell you what else to rub salt into the wounds even worse than this.
What?
One of his tips was scratched in race five. So I said, I'm just going to pick my own. My only winner was the one I picked, Wake Up Manhattan.
Are you going to invite him back again then? Give him another try, surely. We've got to give him another try on a Friday.
King Ding-a-ling. King Ding-a-ling, 1-300-736-736.
Hey, Buddy Franklin has to pull his socks up as well. I don't think he's going to play in the first round. Okay, let's just put that to one side. But I was just reading an interview with his partner Jacinta yesterday. Mm-hmm. On the 12th of every month, he buys Jacinta a bunch of flowers because that's her birth date.
That sounds to me.
He's going to show every bloke up if he keeps doing stuff like that, buddy. Pull your socks up, mate.
I'll turn it up.
What?
How Captain Obvious is that? Well, don't you buy Wendy flowers anymore?
No.
Well, that's just disgraceful.
I don't need to.
I'll let her be the judge of that.
Right. So, all right. So, you buy flowers how often?
Randomly.
How often is randomly?
Whenever I feel like it.
And when did you last buy?
2 weeks ago.
And the time before that?
I don't know specifically. Specifically, I don't know. What about the media need to pull their socks up
about
as a nomination
what?
For not mentioning that the men's hockey team has finished on top of in the Pro League? The Kookaburras cleaned up New Zealand 5-1 at the Sydney Olympic Park. Why didn't you mention that?
I didn't mention that because I didn't know that, but that is great that somebody's reminded us of that fact. I don't want to go too hard on Daniel Ricciardo because I do think that there's enormous pressure when you drive here in Australia. Okay, he said he felt flat, just drained, tried to please everyone this week. I don't look after myself well enough, so we're going to have to change a few things next year. But he does need to pull his socks up because there was so much anticipation about Daniel Ricciardo. And he's made the big move. He's gone from Red Bull to Renault. That's a massive,
okay,
massive
can I
move.
Just, again, this is not our strong suit, clearly, the Formula
No,
one.
No, no, it is. Because I watched the doco yesterday.
Surely the buck has to stop with him, doesn't it? If you were
That was a driving error yesterday.
It's a horrible error, in my opinion, totally unqualified opinion. Mm. If you walk that track, which you would do if you were the driver.
He's not Craig Williams.
Oh, well, Tim, wouldn't you walk the track?
No.
Oh, I bet you they do.
I bet that none of the drivers walk the track.
I'll bet you $100 they do.
I bet you $1,000, and I'll raise you more if you want to match my $1,000, that none of the drivers walk the track.
Very quickly, Greg from West Meadows. G'day, Greg.
Good morning, Dick. Yeah, clearly the Melbourne Rebels from that 31-3 turnaround.
Right on,
I believe they're actually named. They're changing the club name to the Falcons after the Atlanta Falcons after doing something similar in Super Bowl 50 against the Patriots.
Exactly. 28-3 that was. This is even worse, our boys, the Melbourne Rebels. They were 33-5 up, lost 33-36.
What about some socks for Greggy?
Socks for Greggy. Well done to you, Greggy. Hey,
I want some feedback. Have you ever seen an F1 driver walk a Grand Prix track,
and if they haven't, then it's negligent. SEM Breakfast at Melbourne Airport Parking, warmer welcomes and proper goodbyes. 1 hour terminal parking is $12 and Goddings, your Kubota excavator, 5-star service dealer. After the news, Nick Revolt. Great to have your company this morning. Very excited. 3 sleeps and then the AFL season for 2019 gets underway at the MCG. It'll be Richmond taking on Carlton. It'll be 89,000 people. There'll be probably another 90-something the next day when Collingwood take on Geelong and then Melbourne play St Kilda. And then it's on. Melbourne play Port Adelaide, rather. It's on. Lots to get through today with our very special guest. But before I do introduce him, Tim, that Netflix Formula One doco you've been talking about all morning, you'll see that the drivers do walk the track. Romain Grosjean walked it, and you owe Gary $1,000.
What episode?
I don't know, but that's what it says.
I haven't seen that part yet.
I'll take it in 50s or 100s, and Chris
I'll pay up when I see it with my own eyes, okay?
Rui, welcome to you, Nick Riewoldt.
Thank you.
You got a spring in your step or not?
Yeah, I do. Mate, I'm up and about. I've been at the gym this morning. I'm up and about. I'm just trying to get some sustenance in. I've been
having some breakfast.
Having some brekkie.
We've got 1 to 18 we're about to do very shortly.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll get a very nice introduction into how it is to leave someone out of your top eight.
I want to be able to sit where I can see the text machine. I want to see it light up.
I'll give you feedback.
What did you do on the weekend from sport? And your last weekend off for 6 months, let's be honest. What did you do?
Kids. Just locked in with the kids.
Yeah, where'd you take the little blinders?
We didn't do anything. We just stayed at home. It was nice weather, so we're in the pool. And I went into the hospital yesterday to see Jack Riewoldt and Carly Riewoldt's little girl.
Is this breaking news?
It was in the paper, so
was it?
It's out there.
Okay, congratulations.
Poppy Clara.
Fantastic.
Hang on. The baby's been born.
Yes.
When?
Saturday night.
I don't think it was anywhere, was it?
Paper yeah, no, it? Jack's put it on his social media.
When did he put it on the social media?
He put it on there yesterday. Okay. So I saw it was in the paper. See, so I hope it's out there.
I don't know that it is because Tom Brown did a story on our news last night to say that the baby's not due for...
Tom Brown did?
Yeah.
Oh, see, Tom's not as good as he thinks he is.
Where was the baby due?
It was due this week.
Months. Okay.
Yeah. No, it's out there.
It's
okay. All Tom Brown had to do was check Jack's social
congratulations.
Media page.
So what did they name the baby?
Poppy Clara Riewoldt.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, little girl.
Takes the pressure off too with the big season opener just 3 days
it
away.
It does, yeah. Well played. There you go. There you go.
Oh, beautiful.
So hey, no research, no preparation by Tom.
The good oil for Penrite today, Penrite Oil, Australian owned and trusted for more than 90 years. You can visit penriteoil.com. We've got Alistair Clarkson after 8 o'clock. Mark Murphy's going to join us as well. But Rui is in the studio right now, and we've got lots to get through. There's a lot of footy topics going around. We've got hard ball get, loose ball get, and I have got an absolute beauty for you coming up, so get ready.
Oh, we'll be the decider about that.
I know, trust me. In fact, I don't know which one I'll give it to.
Self-proclaimed beauty.
Is it tough? Give it to him.
We're not sure yet who I'll give it to. Righto, let's go.
Okay,
18-1. You've got to put this on the record because there's no getting back for it once you've made public utterances. Tim?
I'm going with the Suns in 18th position. I think Pete Wright.
So we're going position around the desk.
I think so.
Is that how we're doing it? I do love the amount of preparation I was able to put into this. I got the text message through at about 10 p.m. last night.
This is what we have to do.
I've got the Suns as well at 18th.
You can join in this
by Gary.
With us 1-300-736-736 or probably text 0433-911-16. Snap on the Gold Coast Suns. 17?
I've got St Kilda at 17.
Dogs.
Carlton, 17.
Okay.
You got the Dogs at 17.
Yeah, I told you, mate. I got the text at 10 o'clock.
16.
I got Carlton at 16.
So I've got Carlton.
I've got St Kilda at 16. 15.
I've got the Bulldogs at 15.
I've got the Saints at 15.
And I've got the Bulldogs. So we've all got the same bottom four.
Same bottom four. Now it gets more interesting.
I don't want to put disclaimers on it, but this... From here above, I think, is going to be compacted to the point where any of these teams could pop up. I've got the Lions at 14.
I've got the Lions at 14.
I've got Fremantle at 14.
Well, I've got Fremantle at 13.
You've been cheating. You've been looking over my shoulder. I've got Fremantle at 13.
Okay. I've got Port at 13.
Okay.
Ooh.
12, I've got North Melbourne.
I've got Brisbane.
I've got Sydney. That's a big slide.
We'll get back to that. I've got Sydney at 11.
I've got... Hawthorn 11.
Hawthorn 11.
I've got Port at 10.
Got Alistair Clarkson. I think that's him just texting. You've got Port. What? That's 11.
I've got Port at 10.
What? Who have you got at 11?
Sydney, I've said.
Yeah, 11. We both said Hawthorn. Keep
that's
up.
That's right. 10. I've got Port Adelaide.
Sydney.
Hawthorn at 9 for me.
So we've all got Hawthorn missing.
Yep.
And we've all got Sydney missing.
Yeah.
Wow. 9. North Melbourne.
I've also got the Giants missing at 9.
You've got the Giants missing.
Yeah. Well, let's get
back. There's your headline. Look at Meredith run to the newsroom.
let's get back to that.
What have you got?
This is the top eight.
Got 9?
I got 9. I said mine first.
He said
You're not listening. I said Hawthorn at 9.
Have you ever tried to host a show? Got 3 people listening talking to you.
The high accountability environment.
Okay, I got Hawthorn at 9, all right? So now we're looking at the top 8.
Yep.
Okay. I've got Essendon at 8.
North.
Essendon.
You got North in the eight. I've got Geelong at seven.
I've got the Bombers at seven.
Geelong.
GWS for me at six.
Geelong at six.
Adelaide.
West Coast at five.
Collingwood.
Giants. Collingwood at five.
Yeah.
Melbourne at four.
Melbourne at four.
Melbourne at four.
Richmond at three.
Adelaide.
Collingwood.
Collingwood at two.
West Coast.
West Coast.
Crows at one.
Richmond.
Richmond. So the big change is that you've got North in the eight.
Yeah, I've got North eighth.
And who did you have in the eight?
I had I got Essendon in the eight.
I think we've all got the same.
We've got the same seven teams in the eight.
We've got seven the same: Richmond, West Coast, Adelaide, Melbourne, Collingwood, Geelong, Essendon.
Right.
Okay. Can I ask you this question?
0433 98 11 16. Away you go. Rui has got the Giants outside the eight. That's your big call.
South Melbourne, the Swans, have missed the eight. Okay, according to all of us, why have you got them missing the eight?
I just think there's a tipping point for all teams, and I feel like they've probably reached it. The form in the latter half of last year, some of the games that they lost that you would just never see them lose. Gold Coast at home, and incredibly reliant on Franklin to kick their goals. So, I just think there's a tipping point for all teams, and they might be at it.
Gary, concerned about their back half. Grundy's been a pillar for that footy side for a long, long time, and just there were signs he recovered. Unbelievably well. Got dropped, had some off-field issues or some health issues where he didn't play for a while, and I thought that might have been the end of him. But the fact that they pushed so hard to get him back said to me that they're a bit concerned. Melican is the one that they hope can come in and
good
do that
player.
Role.
I've played on him. He's a good player. Yep.
Could he play key position back?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, maybe he will.
Maybe not on the Monsters.
Yeah, well, that's my concern. I'm just not sure who's going to do that for them. So, and again, let's just say this off the top. No West Coast last year for me, eight, and no Collingwood.
Oh, no, we can be horribly wrong here. I'm just interested in the Sydney side with their forward line. With Buddy, what we know of Buddy is that he's hardly done a preseason. Yeah. So he's got to be an injury concern, not only in the early part of the year, right throughout the year. If he doesn't play, they're going to have to rely on Sam Reed.
Same issue.
He's had his issues over the years.
Yep.
Sinclair possibly as a tall forward. And then, I mean, those young, I mean, they've got a lot of good small players in their forward line. You know, Ronk and Parker and Heaney and Papley and those guys. I mean, they're capable, but you still
Haywood.
Need, you still need some big guys down there who are going to be able to, you know, clunk the ball and have these guys play off them. I mean, our Buddy, you just can't see them kicking big scores. No.
John Lawmeyer was very, very bullish when we met with him about his young kids. And that could be the area that we're underselling them because we haven't seen enough of them.
I think you can be bullish about your kids because you can see what's coming through. But at the same time, you might be thinking as a coach, we might have to we might just drop down a little bit before we come back again and rebuild ourselves.
Well, bullish can mean when you're speaking about young players, well, they're going to be great players. But sometimes it takes 3 or 4 years to become a great player for those young blokes. So, and you know, they might finish top four.
Lots of feedback coming in through here. Read your top eight because people got confused. So you go first, Tim. 1-8.
Okay. Crows, Collingwood, Richmond, Melbourne, West Coast, GWS, Cats, Essendon is my top eight.
Richmond, West Coast, Adelaide, Melbourne, Collingwood, Geelong, Essendon, North.
And Richmond, West Coast, Collingwood, Melbourne, GWS, Adelaide, Geelong, and Essendon. So I haven't got North in. Rui has. Rui's got the Giants out of the eight. Now that's the one we need to dig in deeper into.
I just think, again, you reach a tipping point in terms of the turnover of players. I think Lobb, really, behind Mummy, who's out for, what is he out for, the first three?
Yep.
First 3 weeks. They're down to Dawson Simpson, so I think Lobb's probably a bigger loss than they anticipate. Dylan Shiel on the outside. We know Callum Ward's out for the first chunk of the season with his knee. They've lost a lot of players. They've had a huge turnover the last few years, and they while they've been topping up with young draft picks, they've also lost a stack of those as well. Setterfield we've seen has gone to Carlton and looked really good. So I just think they're at the point now where they might have lost too many, and that continuity, that ability to play together for a long time, they haven't really had. So I've got them ninth, but
I'd respectfully say I agree with some of what you're saying, but that would have them for me dropping out of the top four, not out of the top eight. This is a back-to-back preliminary finalist, so that's why I still got them in.
Can we just back over this too? We've given our top eight, but you don't think your top side at the end of the home and away season will win the flag, do you?
No.
And, Rue, do you think that the top team that you've named is going to win the flag, or they're going to be... Okay, yes, so you've named Richmond as the winners of the flag this year.
Yep.
But, Gary, you don't think Richmond will win the flag?
Got the Pies winning the flag.
Okay.
Morning, fellas. Great footy's back. I'll be sure to take absolutely no notice of your predictions. After all, none of you had West Coast in the eight last year and they won the flag. Go the mighty Kangas. You had the Kangas out.
I had the Kangas out. I've been getting some harsh feedback off the text as well. Nick, you had the Kangas in.
I had them in.
Okay, so you're saying that they're going to improve slightly on their performance of last year.
Yeah, based on the talent that they've been able to get through the door. Okay. So they clearly believe they're in the window to be able to push and contend. Otherwise, you don't go out and make the moves that they've made. So, and some really, really good quality talent through the door as well.
Do you think Polak can be the difference?
Well, I don't think him in isolation.
Who's the other?
So they've got Hall in there. I think he's a good depth player.
Flighty.
Yeah, he's flighty, but I think he's a good depth player. I think he's better than probably the 20th, the 22nd player they had last year.
Hawthorn made fools of us all last year, and they finished top four after the home and away. After the home and away. We know they went out in straight sets in the finals. Have you, either of you guys, based their performance this year on the fact that Tom Mitchell isn't playing, or is there something deeper than that? Because they have got Wingard that's going to come into that side at some stage as well.
Yeah, no, Mitchell's enormous. No,
they can't
no
cover
Mitchell
him?
Is enormous. Well, just goals. I mean, they're relying still for me on Ruff a fair bit.
Gunston.
Well, and Gunston,
he's still there.
Had a terrific year.
The poo's still there.
Wasn't always at home. It was more up the ground and up the back half. Oh, they could easily make us look like idiots. Yeah. Hawthorn's
got the Bill Belichick factor. Where you're right. Everyone writes the New England Patriots off every year, and they just find a way. They scheme and they adjust, and they're chameleons, and they adapt to what they've got. So, right, Clark.
Yeah.
Clark will probably make us all look silly.
When you evaluate Hawthorn, you have to put the coach Clarkson into the equation, don't you? He's got this capacity to make the whole greater than the sum of the parts. He did that last year, and you'd be a brave person to bet against him doing that again this year.
Yep. Brave or stupid?
A bit of both. He's coming in after 8 o'clock this morning, Clark. Are you going to join us?
I might be changing mine. I might have Hawthorn in by 8 o'clock. I'm worried about – I know we've got to take a break. We've got Rui through until 8 o'clock. I'm worried about Essendon, Tim. I've got them in there out of respect for what they showed in the back half of the year. But my concerns lie around, again, their ability to score. Mm. Hold that thought.
Mm-hmm.
I know Rui wants to talk about some of that as well. He will be up next to us. This is the conversation starter for Kia's 7-day sale. Receive a $777 bonus on selected Kia's sale. Ends on Sunday. More Nick Riewoldt after the break. Welcome back. Our conversation starters for Kia's 7-day sale. It ends this Sunday, and the conversation's all around the top 8, the top 18 in actual fact, which we've put our names to. The news out of it, we've all got them pretty similar. Rui thinks the Giants are going to miss the eight. Both Tim and I got North Melbourne outside the eight. All three of us have got the Hawks and Port Adelaide outside the top eight as well.
And we had North and the Giants eight and ninth, depending on whether you had them in or not.
Exactly.
So our top nine are all the same.
Essendon.
Yes.
I have them in with a degree of trepidation, and by the time Clarko comes on, I could have them out.
What is your trepidation?
Goals.
Because of their forward line structure you're just talking about?
Yeah,
or?
So Joey Danaher, they started the season with Hooker last year.
They started Joey and Hooker.
That's right, and eventually Carr went back, but it took a long time to convince them, which says to me they weren't sure. McKernan came in and played some fantastic footy for short periods of time, which he's done before. I can't quite put my trust in him just yet. I'd like to be able to. Stewart isn't been able to fully own a forward half of the ground for me just yet. So they got lots of little bits.
Mm.
Not sure they got the big bit. And Joe Danaher is a man who's, really you've spoken about, and we have, and he's a fascinating player for me. He's a hairy little calf, Nick, that's going to be out for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so that press release came through, and we get all the emails that come through from all the different clubs, depending on injury or whatever. And the Joe Danaher press release from the Bombers just really piqued my interest. He received a kick to the calf at training and has suffered a calf strain. That's what the release said. Well, I can't recall anyone ever straining their calf because it was kicked.
Mm.
So you think this might be a flare-up of what he was already suffering, do you? Or?
Well, and then to say that it's going to be a six-week calf, I mean, that is an extraordinarily long calf injury. So all I'm saying is that just sounds bizarre. So without really explaining the detail to us, we are now in a position where we sit around and speculate on, has he re-flared his groin injury? Are they just getting a mini pre-season into him for 6 weeks? That was a bizarre press release.
Grassy Knoll, if we're on it, he then went and did the captain's day. If you've done a calf, you don't go standing around at a captain's day. I'm not saying he hasn't done a calf. Okay. But that was strange when I saw that.
Okay.
If I've done a lot of calves, right? If you've done a calf that's gone out for 6 weeks.
That's already been diagnosed as a calf you're going to be out for 6 weeks.
My experience is you're at home.
Yeah.
But anyway. That's
a six-week calf is that's as bad a calf as I've ever heard. Six weeks for a calf strain as a result of a kick in the calf. I mean, I don't understand. I'd love to speak to someone from the Bombers and just get some clarification around that. And I'm not sure whether he was asked about it at the captain's day, but...
Yeah, no, he was. Absolutely he was. I saw the interview and he said he got kicked in the calf and he didn't think much of it and didn't sort of think he'd never done one before. So they went and had a scan and he got a nick in it.
That was a kick.
Yep, that was his explanation. Now, whether he'd done it...
Does that sound strange to you?
Oh, no, that's 100% not the way you do a calf, or you wouldn't think. In my history, in my experience, but I also don't. Let's not forget the day, that same day, John Worsfold said, we are going to manage his minutes in the first game, which I thought was a very strange thing to say.
No, we talked about that before we
managing
knew about the
car. Managing minutes in a practice match, managing minutes in a JLT, sure. Managing minutes in a home and away,
surely though,
all thrown into the pot was
surely
a little bit strange.
Surely though, in this day and age when everything gets out about a football club internally, injuries and the like, you wouldn't try and fluff that. I mean,
there's no fluffing.
Sorry,
it's just
but Nick thinks it's odd.
It's unusual.
They've named a calf and they've said straight away it's going to be a 6 week calf when we know that his problem to this point has been his groin and osteitis pubis. So we know that. And maybe is I don't want to put words in your mouth. Is that what you think though?
It's the whole recipe of saying that it was a kick that caused it. I've never heard of a kick to a hamstring or a quad or a calf causing a strain. Yeah. I've never heard of that.
That's more of your corking.
That's
like a cork calf.
And let alone a 6 week calf, and then you're out on your feet all day doing the captain's day. So it's that recipe that just doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
So then that
how big a concern then is it for Essendon? Already we saw them in their two practice games and they didn't look great.
You know
okay.
What?
They didn't look like they had that great connection in those first two games. They've now without Danaher in that game. Their forward line could be McKernan, could be Brown, it could be James Stewart. How difficult is it to get that chemistry that you need in your forward line to function?
I think if they've put a line through Joe for the first 6 weeks, I think it's good for them. I think it's better for the Bombers. I don't think Joe looked super fit throughout the preseason games that we saw, which, you know, he's coming from a long way back with his groin issues. So if he has an opportunity now, and if it is a case of let's get a good block of fitness into him, so when he comes in, and I read his statement said something around, I want to be able to perform, not just play. So that's great that he's in that headspace. He can go away now, do a really good block of training. If he's coming off a six-week calf injury, though, I'm not sure how much he'll be able to be on his legs, but... play blokes that are rock hard fit. Play McKernan, who was a soldier for you last year, who gives great effort every week. Play Stewart. Play Ambrose in the back half. If Cooker's not fit, don't play those blokes. Right. Let them get rock hard fit for the latter part of the season.
I'm writing that down for after. Play blokes that are rock hard fit. That's Nick Riewoldt's words. I'm just going to park that because we're coming up the news and we're going to revisit. I love it, by the way. Don't look at me like I'm having a go here. I absolutely love it. By the way, where was it? I had a kick in the calf last year, boys. I've lost it. Got a kick in my calf last year. Had an inch tear resulting from it. That's from Jonesy.
There you go.
So maybe, you never know.
Heard of it.
I haven't either, to be honest.
Okay, if you have heard of it, give us some feedback.
We'll take it under advisement. After the 7:30 news, we've got a hard ball get, loose ball get. I've got a couple of real curly ones for both of you.
I have for you as well.
And the loose ball get is a bit lighter. You understand that, don't you?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I know the difference, yeah, between a Lucy and a Hardy.
You didn't get too many loose ones in your career. They were all hard ones, weren't they?
Every one of them. When you played in the midfield, my friend, there's no such thing as an easy one.
Meredith, please.
So, Dave, your company, we're doing hard ball get, loose ball get, and this is where we just put our friendship to us the side for 10 minutes and we ask a very, very hard question and we don't let you off the hook. And my question for you, Nick Riewoldt, this morning is this.
Yes.
Could the issues at St Kilda with injuries to Robertson and Carlisle and McCartan and Hanbury and other issues make it impossible for them to make a call one way or the other on the coach, Alan Richardson?
You're happy with that, aren't you?
I'm asking the question.
It's a lazy question, really, Tim. You know, we'll get the St Kilda guy to answer the St Kilda-based question.
Well, that's why it went for 3 minutes in the ad break. Very heated in here.
No, it's quite an easy answer, really.
Oh, I'm looking forward to your answer. What is it?
Well, absolutely, you can still make a judgment because you want to see improvement. You want to see a really solid game style and the best game styles that we've been able to see over the last few years have really rendered personnel irrelevant. So you want your best players playing, absolutely, but you can still show enough with the cattle that you're going to have out there in terms of the game style, the structure, the adherence to game plan, the efforts,
right.
You can still make a call on all of that.
So they could win two games and they could still say they've done well.
You can. You can.
How little you think of this?
I'm not putting a win loss on it, but you can still see it. It's the eye test. It's the effort that the players are giving. It's the adherence to a good game style. It is, absolutely.
See, it almost lets him off the hook.
Well, I mean, you can only base any sort of decision on what you see in front of you, and if the players play a great style and they give great effort every week, the wins and losses will take care of themselves. We've seen that. Who would have thought when Richmond were playing blokes like Castagna and Ellis and all these sort of role players that they had in their forward line, Townsend, that you would have said that, you know, they're the sort of players that are going to carry them to a flag. But they played a great style, they played a great system, and they gave great effort, and great things happened.
They had great players around them.
They did, yep, absolutely. You want your great players out there. So I'm not saying I think the St Kilda Football Club can win the flag this year.
No.
But they can still perform well
enough.
So
he's pretty safe, Richo, then, is what you're saying.
I'm not saying that at all.
That's exactly what you're saying.
What if you don't see great effort every week?
Well, then you could turn around and say, well, they haven't got the players there to help assist. They can't get it inside 50.
Effort's the one thing you can control.
So as long as they try hard, he'll be right.
Try hard, play a good style, play a good system, accountability to the system, he'll be fine.
Well, it's music to Alan's ears on the drive in this morning.
I've got a question for you this morning. Mick Malthouse wrote yesterday in the Sunday Herald Sun that the AFL got it all wrong tinkering with the game and introducing the 6-6-6. He said the game wasn't broken, it didn't need to be fixed. Do you agree with his sentiment?
Wasn't broken, but it needed amending.
Right.
Yeah.
So the AFL got it right?
Yeah. The 666 they did. In the early stages of this, yes.
Right. So okay. So you partially agree with Mick that
the footy I watched last year up until round.
You were smashing the game last year.
It was horrendous.
Yeah, you were smashing the game last year.
No, Tim, it was horrendous.
Yeah. Okay.
It was unwatchable. And for the first time in my footy watching life, which goes back to the age of probably 6 or 8, I was turning off games and just walking away.
So you think 2 JLT games is enough of a sample size when the clubs haven't tried anything in terms of manipulating it is enough sample to say that, yep, it's right.
You sell me short, young grasshopper. I've been working on this for 12 months, not 2 JLT. You're new to the caper. You might just look at that. I go way, way back in thinking in terms of long. Your turn.
My turn. Okay. Tim, have the AFL, in terms of playing a JLT series, have they taken away from round one? If this was the first time we were going to see our teams run out this week, would it be a better spectacle for us as fans?
I don't know whether it would be a better spectacle because I think the spectacle's attached to the players' cohesion and chemistry and all that type of thing, and I think you can only get that in playing in real tight practice games against other teams. So I think there would be – I think you get – conditioned to my team's going to be this or my team's going to be that based on 2 games. It's a small sample size, but I think that happens. You can destroy a supporter base's optimism based on what they see. I don't think we'd get a better result by not playing games, to be quite honest. I think we need to play JLT-style games so that players get the opportunity to tune up for the season.
Would it be more exciting though?
I think that's a different question. I think I think it would be more exciting for supporters to go along this week and see their team for the first time. Imagine if you were going along to watch Carlton this weekend, you've not seen Sam Walsh play in any of the practice games so far. How excited
be good, wouldn't it?
You might two have you got be rocks in your head.
The anticipation
according
of seeing
to Paul Ruse.
The anticipation of seeing him for the first time would be unbelievable.
We go back to Nick's answer on St Kilda. This has come through. He's one sentence away from saying it's the vibe. It's Marbo.
You can see it.
I'm just giving you the feedback.
It's the eye test.
All right, whose turn is it? Mine?
Yes.
What about Lucy? Loosen
I've got
it
a
up.
Hard ball for you, Wispy.
Oh, okay.
Where is it? Oh, yes. Did Dave Warner and Steve Smith walk straight into that one-day international team that have just rolled India on their home soil?
No, they don't. I don't know why you're firing a cricket question at me, by the way. I don't think
you... I 100% thought the same thing.
I don't think that they should.
Nick, do they walk straight back in?
Well, no, that was for Wiss. You've already given me my hardball. I'll go back at you with a cricket question. Should Steve Smith ever captain Australia again?
Yes.
Why?
Well, he made a mistake. Put his hand up. Paid his penalty.
Pretty big mistake.
Hang on. He made a mistake.
He's
paid his penalty. He's sat out a year. He's going to have another year of having to establish his credentials. And if he's the best man for the job,
whose question? Okay, whose decision should that be? Should that be the player's decision, or should that be the administrator's decision around him captaining?
Both.
You'd need to gauge what the players think, would you not?
Yes, my word. A recommendation could come from them, and needs to be rubber stamped by the hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Righto. Your question.
I've got
Lucy. You got a Lucy?
I've got a Lucy here for you, Nick.
Yes.
Okay. The question is, what's a harder way to earn, say, $40 million in sport? Is it to be an F1 driver where the season runs for 21 races, or is it to play the quarterback position for an NFL team? What is the hardest, more difficult way to earn your coin?
I haven't watched your documentary that you've been speaking
so,
to. I don't know. Those when they walk around the track, that does sound like a lot of hard work. Well, I know what I'd rather.
I'd rather be the quarterback.
Be the quarterback. They don't earn four. They probably earn about half that. But they do copper pounding those blokes. But that being said, every time you drive a Formula One car, you're putting your life at risk. I think that would be more difficult.
Okay,
for Formula One driving.
Loose ball get for you, Nick.
Yes.
If you were confronted with the Western Bulldogs' Marvel Thor jumper as the captain, what would you say?
I would take some convincing, but I would understand the commercial reality that some of those clubs are facing and the need to think outside the box in order to keep the club afloat.
So you'd be happy to wear the cartoon
jumper?
I'd wear it,
yeah. Okay. Our good mate Bob wouldn't look too good in it, I reckon.
Lucy for you.
No, I've got a Hardy for you. Okay, Tom Lynch. Okay, we know that he's...
You only get one Hardy to each of us.
You know that he's training the house down at the moment, apparently, at Richmond. Okay, they've got their big game, the season opener on Thursday night against the Blues. He's put his hand up. He wants to play. What does he need to do to justify to you that he's right to go?
Well, I'll answer that by reading out my hardball question I never got to ask. Tell me why Richmond are even contemplating playing Tom Lynch.
Okay,
That's my answer.
You answer that then.
Well, I don't know because...
You can answer the question. The question is, what would he need to do to convince Damien Hardwick and the rest of the Brains Trust there that he's right to go?
Nothing from my point of view. He doesn't play. That would be my answer to that.
It's off a PCL, right?
Yep.
And if he does play, I read he might have to pinch hit in the ruck. PCL into the ruck is...
But this is my point with this, right?
Danger.
This is a long season, and you want Tom Lynch playing in round 20, right?
Exactly. No, you want it in the last month of the year, Not just round 20.
In round 20, on the way to the finals. You want him in good form, fit and strong.
Yeah. Rock hard fit and strong.
Rock hard fit. Yeah. So why? When would you even... And I'm not telling Richmond how to suck eggs because they're a successful club and they know what he's been doing over summer. He may be much more advanced than any of us either know. But on the surface, from afar, they're saying he's going to sit out training today. He's not training today. He'll train tomorrow.
Right.
This is three sleeps away from the season opener. He hasn't played a game.
What would be wrong with playing him in the VFL?
Nothing, Tim.
Is there anything wrong with playing him in the VFL?
It's the same argument as Joe Danaher. If Joe's not fit or he's done a calf or whatever the situation is, save these blokes from themselves.
Exactly.
You need them when you need them at the business end. Play the rock hard fit blokes. Play the soldiers. Get them through to the end of the year. And then let Joe and then let Tom Lynch come out and dominate finals.
That's why we really mean it. This is SEN Breakfast from Melbourne Airport Parking. Warmer welcomes and proper goodbyes and our terminal parking travellers. Nothing wrong with Tom having a run in the VFL. And Goddings, your Kubota excavator five-star service dealer. Never going to have long enough with Nick Revolt. Billy from Pakenham joins us. Billy, you got to be quick.
All right, mate. I just think I remember from a leadership perspective, I was in a workshop and they told us the story of a Japanese car executive back in the 80s who'd made a mistake that cost $1 million. He walked in to resign and his boss said, "Why would I let you resign? It's just cost me $1 million to train you. You're not going to make any of those mistakes again." If my son was coming through the cricket ranks, which he is, I think it'd be fantastic for Steve Smith to be captain, because he's never, ever going to abdicate his responsibility like he did in South Africa.
That is a great call.
Give some socks,
please. No, I'm going to do better than that. I'm going to do dozen of the new Callaway ERC soft golf balls to Billy out there in Pakenham.
Do you think in the running for the caller of the week in the Toyota Hilux SR5, yes?
Yes. I've got a loose ball.
See that clock up there?
Yeah, I've got a loose ball. It's a quick one.
Righto.
Socks or no socks for the first episode of The Couch?
I've never, ever done The Couch without socks, ever. Ever.
Okay.
Are they socks by Underworks?
Sockets.
Little sockets.
Sockets.
Little sockets.
Stuart, quickly from Marabina. Stewie?
Gary, you are absolutely right on the money about Tom Lynch. I'm a mad keen Richmond supporter. We'll be there on Thursday, and I want him in the VFL for round one.
Spot on, Stewie. I reckon I would go further than this. I just said 4 weeks. I'd say here, there's your four-week block of
in the VFL.
Just take your time, as much as you want, as little as you want, and then go back.
Can you imagine if they had said that to us when we were trying to get back?
And I did exactly what I'm telling everyone not to do.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Hey, you want return on your investment, though. They've put a lot of money into this bloke. They want to see him out there. They don't want to see him running around the VFL.
They want the return.
Richmond fans don't want to see him running around the VFL.
In September, Whispers, and you know what we're talking about because you agree with us. Loose ball get for you.
Yes.
Would you, if you were the head of Renault...
Yes.
Call Dan Ricciardo into your office and say, "Dan, you're on $49 million. I'm fining you one for driving on the footpath."
Yeah, I wouldn't fine him $1 million.
He drove on the footpath.
I understand. I would have kicked his backside all the way to Clarendon Street last night after that performance yesterday.
All the way to Hunky Dory.
All the way to Hunky Dory. All the way to the South Melbourne market.
Lucy, for you, Tim, who's the biggest alpha dog at the Fox launch today?
Ooh.
Brown, Burton, Lion or Dunstall?
Our man here.
No.
Our man here is the biggest alpha I've ever come across.
You've got that wrong.
And that's no disrespect. I admire you for it.
None meant, but you've got it wrong.
Who's bigger than you then?
Oh, Big Brown. Hey, let's play, what is this bloke? Big Brown and Revolt are the two.
Don't be silly.
Yeah, he's a poodle, this one.
No, he's not.
What did you call me? Young grasshopper.
He's a big llama. He just walks in. Very nice to see you. When we see you Monday, we'll be talking about eight games of footy. In fact, nine. That'll be fantastic.
Have a good weekend.
Good on you, mate. There's Nick Revolt. Alistair Clarkson, the coach of the Hawthorn Football Club, to join us. Tim didn't have him in his eight. I've swung him in.
We just wanted some clarity. You know, we're about to go into a big season. We're starting this Thursday night, and as we sit right here now, we still don't know exactly what's going on with the runner's rule and what the interpretation is going to be there. So that's got its frustrations.
That was Alistair Clarkson only minutes ago, who joined us on Hawthorn Membership Day. Unbelievable situation. The text message gone crazy. The phones are going nuts. We're in touch with the AFL team. We're 3 days out from the start of the season. The most successful coach of the modern era and maybe the best coach, one of the best ever, is telling us 3 days out he doesn't know what's going on with his runners.
Well, you and I both nearly fell off our chairs when he said that this morning, because we believed that it had been resolved. The AFL were categoric in saying, okay, no, this has been set. The runner situation has been set. Since that time, since we spoke to Steve Hocking last week, they met with the coaches.
On Thursday.
Based on what Clarko has just said to us now, they've been left with some wriggle room in terms of a negotiation between the AFL and the coaches. So now what we need the AFL to do is to come out and tell us exactly what's going on this weekend.
And they're still waiting for the definitive rule on who sets the mark for a 50-metre penalty, whether it's the umpire further afield. And I spoke to Hayden Kennedy last week before I went on 360 with Johnny Brown. And Hayden said, yeah, well, we'd like the umpire further afield to be able to do it, but we don't want to take that umpire away from the area that he's supposed to be officiating. That is, you know, jumper pulling for a forward who's trying to lead and all that sort of stuff. So we're still waiting for that. Now,
It should be resolved, shouldn't it?
Field Marshal's on the phone to the AFL.
It should be resolved.
Well, should be.
Of course it should be resolved
by Monday.
Now.
The game starts on Thursday.
Yeah.
And that is there's the biggest coach in the competition saying, I'm waiting for clarity on the runner situation.
We are all waiting for a call.
Oh, boy. Meredith, please. This man has had a very interrupted couple of years. I'm a huge fan. And him back, perhaps without the captaincy weight, not weighing him down, but not having to worry about that in the twilight of what's been a stellar career, could see him go for another 5 years. Wisp, that's what I'm calling. His name's Mark Murphy, and he joins us. G'day, Murph.
G'day, Gary. How are you going?
Good to talk to you, mate. The most important question we can ask you is, how are you feeling ahead of Thursday night?
Yeah, feeling really good. It's come around pretty quick, actually, when you have the weekend and all the Grand Prix buzz around town, and then Monday morning you're into training and you've only got a few more days to go before we kick off our season. So it's a really exciting time of year. The weather's really good, and I think hopefully there'll be 90,000 plus there on Thursday night.
13
games. Shot the Tigers, which would be awesome.
Sorry, mate. 13 games last year only. How many of those 13 do you reckon you are feeling as you feel right now?
A couple, I reckon. Mm. I reckon, I had a plantar fasciitis leading into the season. And for those who don't know, that's sort of the muscle in your foot. So it's pretty hard to sort of change direction and everything. And then I sort of partially ruptured that before round four, I think it was. And then came back and did it first game back, fully ruptured it, and then played out the remainder of the year okay. But, never really quite feel as good when you got something wrong with your foot. So I've trained basically all pre-season, only really missed sessions that Andrew Russell's designed for me. So body's feeling really good. And as you said in the opener, hopefully I can play for another 4 or 5 years. But, the aim hopefully this year to play a really strong 22 games, hopefully.
And you played game 250 on Thursday night. Congratulations on that milestone. Do you feel, without the captaincy, with, Cripps coming through and sort of taking more responsibility and all this talk about Sam Walsh as well, do you feel that there's less expectation on you personally? Do you feel that you're more unencumbered than you've been in a long time?
I suppose probably the outside noise. Like, there's a lot of talk around our young guys and obviously Cripper, which is really exciting, and so it should be. I mean, Cripper is one of the stars of the game, so he deserves all that chat around him. But I think, personally, when you play football, you always expect high, you have high expectations on yourself. So I don't think that'll change, but I think just not having to deal with all the stakeholders and the sponsors all the time, letting that go to some of our younger guys, and obviously Cripper and Doc being our co-captains, I think, has been really good for me over the pre-season. And, obviously leading into round one being my 250th, there'll be a bit more media this week. But other than that, it'll probably just allow me just to focus on playing my role for the side and enjoying trying to bring along these young guys as quick as possible. So the better off they're going, the better off it'll be for us as a club. So I've really enjoyed sort of stepping back and not having to speak to the group as much, which has been good.
17 and a half minutes to nine. We're talking to Mark Murphy. I've watched the Blues' two JLT games, and I think there's been a vast improvement in the team, in the personnel, the way you play. Are you more excited this year than you've been for a number of years?
Yeah, I am. I think they are only JLT games, and you can't read too much into it, but I think just the way in which we're moving the ball, I think, is much more positive, and I think we're defending like we probably were a couple of years ago as a really tight unit. And I think also just some of our individuals that are now 3 or 4 years into their careers are good enough now and fit enough and strong enough to perform at a level. So I talk about guys like Cunningham and Wietering, and you're bringing guys like McGovern, who has had a bit of an interrupted pre-season, but his direction and voice out there is really important for a young group. And Newman being able to go half back for us coming from Sydney. There's some guys who are stepping in now, and some guys who have been there for a few years now that can really perform at a level. So as an older player now, it's really exciting to see some of these young guys actually really confident and going out there week to week and being able to perform the level, which is really good for us.
What about your role, Murph? You've been a career midfielder, been in the centre square for most of it, a little bit, perhaps resting forward. Is it, you expecting something a bit different this year?
Yeah, I'll
I'll pinch hit through there, I reckon, at times, but I'll spend probably majority of my time on the wing. I've been doing a little bit of work off the halfback flank and see how that goes. So,
yes.
I think if I can, I suppose more so longevity of my career, being out of the middle and not getting hit all the time will probably be good for me. So, if I can play that wing role, maybe slide to halfback and half forward, it gives me a bit more versatility that I can sort of just play a bit of everywhere, which would be handy. So, I've enjoyed playing a little bit of halfback and I enjoy the wing. So, it's good to change it up and do something different.
Your ball use is magnificent. I'm a huge advocate for getting your best ball users across halfback. I mean, Cade Simpson's going to play till he's 80 just playing off halfback. So, you must look at that going, give me a go at that.
Oh, mate, he's normally that's sort of been a gag. When you get over 30, you go to halfback and rack up a few easy touches and come off the halfback line and try and use the ball through there. But now that it's 6-6-6-6, you got to defend a little bit more. But, it's a spot that I've actually enjoyed training a bit over the pre-season as well. And you're right, I think if you've got good ball users off your halfback line and especially on your wings who can really break the game open, that's where a lot of the attacks are coming from these days. So it's a really important role for us.
And Big Cruiser, how's he tracking right now?
He's going all right. Cruiser played in the VFL last week. So I'm not sure where he's at with his program, if he's going to be available for this week or not. But I think he'll certainly be right for round two. It's just a matter of, I suppose, training this week and seeing where he's at. But he's actually been looking pretty good the last couple of weeks.
Do I just want to add to the Sam Walsh hype? You got something you want to say? He's better than Juddy and whoever else?
Oh, yeah, there's a fair bit of hype going around him, and it's almost well-deserved. Like, he's an unbelievably impressive kid, but I think everyone's got to just take a step back and just remind themselves that he's still only 18, so you can't expect a heap for him yet, but you can't tell him that, though, because he's the ultimate professional already. I've seen a lot of kids come through, and he's really impressed me a lot, Mulshy, and still trying to find his weakness. He's a ripping young kid. I think he's done everything right to put his hand up for round one. I don't want to go out there and say he's already got to play on Thursday night, but sure to play a lot of games for the Carlton City Club and a lot of really, really top-notch games. He's going to be a star, the young fella, so it's going to be awesome to play with him.
Not that long ago, we were saying the same things about you, and that's how quickly time goes, mate. We hope you've still got another 5 years, and we look forward to seeing you in action on Thursday night, your 250th. Well done, and enjoy.
All right, thanks, Gary. Thanks, Tim.
Okay, will there be a backflip from the AFL regarding the use of the runners?
I don't think so, but if you've just joined us, we spoke to Alistair Clarkson, and Clarko said, we are still waiting, we the coaches, waiting for clarity on the runner rule, which said, I think AFL, we've been onto them all morning, and they're in Monday meetings, we're told. I reckon I know what they're in meetings about. So I don't think there will, but Clarko said that there were three options, and that is the 45 seconds that they allowed on is extended a bit.
Yep.
That they will be given a certain number of times a quarter that the runner could go on,
yep.
Or it stays as it is. If you were if you were listening to Stephen Hocking last week,
he was categorical.
Stays as it is.
I think it stays as it is. Tom Scully, Clarko, talking to Clarko before, he mentioned Tom Scully, he said that Chad Wingard, neither of those players will play in round one. Are you surprised, though, that the Tom Scully conversation has started so early in the season? The optimism of him coming back and resuming play so early?
No, I'm not, and it's been chased up here by Jay-Z Clark and the Herald Sun. Scully is a round six tip.
Mm.
Author and recruit Tom Scully could return to the AFL within the first six rounds of the season via the VFL. Probably if he did, he'd have 3, 4, 5 weeks in the VFL just to get himself right.
Yep.
It is starting, there's nothing fishy about it, but it's starting to smell like another heist by the Hawthorn Footy Club.
What do you mean heist?
You know, getting the players like a Burgoyne who others might have thought were coming towards the end because of injury, getting them into the club, rehabilitating and them getting 10 more years out of them.
They've got good form in that area, haven't they? The Bulldogs had some bad luck again. Or Dale Morris specifically has had some bad luck again. He's out for the season. Aaron Norton's been playing forward, okay, with success. Mm-hmm. Well, limited success. Do you shift him now? Do you send him back now to cover the loss of Dale Morris, given what's happened in the last 5 days?
I would think so. And given he's still a young player, Tim, who cut his teeth as a defender.
Yeah.
That's where I'd like to see him establish himself as a player. Very hard to do going forward, and it's not with my tongue in my cheek. That's a hard role to play, particularly in that side, which is going to battle a bit, I think,
yeah.
So I'd like to see him establish himself in the back. Rory McIlroy, by the way, has won the Players' Championship. 16 under, done and won. So well done to he.
Is it possible for Dale Morris to come back and play again, do you think?
You'd never count Dale Morris out, given that he returned most recently in an unbelievably short period of time. But if it's a full reconstruction that's needed, he's 36, I think, 36 years of age, you would say it's a long way. And maybe... Maybe Dale and the club can sit down and say, look, of course you could squeeze it out and you could come back, but perhaps it's time for us to, you know, stop relying on you as a 37-year-old and let you enjoy retirement. He's entitled to do what he wants, by the way, because he's been a star. And if he wants to come back, then of course he can. But would that be the right thing?
Yeah, I think so.
To come back?
Yep, I think so. I think he can. I think he can, Dale Morris.
Okay.
Mystic Journey won the All-Star Mile at the weekend. Fantastic win. Is that one of the great things for horse racing that occurred at Flemington on Saturday?
Anytime.
$11,000 horse.
Anytime an $11,000 purchase can put the Godolphins back from...
Isn't that a great thing for the whole horse racing industry,
well, let's
though?
Get Jared Waitley in as he joins us.
Maybe he disagrees.
Big show coming up at 9 o'clock on Hawthorn Membership Day. Jared, is she the heir apparent to the mighty Winx?
She's one of them, and she'll be around longer than the Autumn Sun will. Mm. He'll go to stud either before the spring or afterwards. And yeah, she's all the elements.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything you want.
Tasmania.
Yep. First group. Is that the first Group One?
Well, so it's not a Group One. She'd won.
Sorry, I mean.
Yes, yeah.
Yep.
So it's the first Tasmanian trained Group One winner in Melbourne in 130 odd years.
That's right. Yeah.
And the inaugural All-Star Mile winner, and she did it magnificently well, too.
She sat three wide the trip.
Worked hard and still was able to go away. And the favourite was given a beautiful ride and a dream run as well and couldn't get there.
Yeah, yeah. Elise found her way through.
And had Hartnell got out a little bit earlier at flash time.
Oh, yeah. He's an old marvel.
Mm.
What a terrific.
I don't know. Did you see Bye Bye Bell run at Yarra Valley yesterday? That's got Oaks written all over that horse. Yes. Oaks written all over it.
Got to have a dream.
Jared Waitley on Hawthorn Membership Day. The Hawthorn coach has just raised a few eyebrows in an AFL house.
Yep. So we know that Thursday was feisty, and we know that Alistair Clarkson led the charge, and then he's got a group of coaches who see the world the way
Mafia.
He does.
They call them the Hawthorn Mafia.
Do they, Jack?
Yes, they do.
The question is whether that is exactly whether there is information that they're waiting on, or whether when they were sent from the room, the AFL had made it clear that they weren't budging.
And he's just perhaps putting it out there that...
So I'll be interested to see whether there's clarification on whether there's going to be clarification.
And the 50-metre penalty needs to be clarified as well.
Only if it wasn't all clarified at the Thursday meeting.
Okay.
If you were a betting man, and I know you're not, but if you were a betting man, would you say that there's going to be further clarification, or do you think it was clarified
no,
at that meeting?
And this is not based on information, this is just my little stab. My stab would be that the AFL holds the view that it was perfectly clear when they left the room on Thursday.
Right.
It just didn't
fall
the way that... Anyway, but let's wait and see.
Well, Steve Hogan communicated it with us, and
he was categoric.
He was absolutely categoric. So it'll be interesting, because Clarko did say not less than an hour ago that he was still waiting clarity on the runner rule and also the 50-metre rule. So that will be sorted out at some stage today. It'll make for an interesting conversation.
It will.
Who have you got on for Hawthorn Membership Day?
James Sicily is with me, and I've got David King and Robert Craddock coming up. There's a lot to work through, as you've touched on all morning.
It's been SEM Breakfast for Melbourne Airport Parking. Warmer welcomes and proper goodbyes. Now terminal parking's only $12, and the good people of Goddings, your Kubota Excavator 5-star service dealer. We appreciate their great ongoing support.
Is Jared part of the Fox Media Day today?
Yes.
He would be.
Oh,
don't need to ask.
He'll be the busiest.
He'll have the busy. Tim thinks it's like...
NFL Media Day it is.
For the Super Bowl. He reckons we've all got booths. We'll sit back and enjoy your show. We'll be back tomorrow morning.